Blog Talk Radio. Bringing you back to who you really are. I'm Anna East, and thank you for being here too.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode 11 of the Here I Am podcast. Woo, 11, my favorite number. Oh, wait, that was last week or 2 weeks ago. That was my prompt was if anybody could guess my favorite number, which 11 isn't my favorite. It's part of my favorite. So the vote is still out. What is my favorite number? Anyway, the music you just heard is called Requisite by Lundau. If you listen through the whole episode, I'll play the rest of the song at the end. And each week I do choose new music to feature. So if you'd like to submit your own music to be featured in this podcast, I would love to hear it. So welcome back to the podcast, everybody. And I can't believe it's only been 2 weeks since our last episode aired. It feels like a lifetime has passed since 2 weeks ago, honestly. Is anybody else with me out there? Raise your hand. I'm currently enrolled back into my university. And every day, Monday through Friday, I'm pretty much spending about 7 hours of the day solely on either learning Chinese or American journalism, like the history of it, really. So it's pretty intense. Therefore, each day feels quite long, but it is very good. It's going to be a good brain workout, and I know it'll be worth it once I'm done in 3 more weeks. But anyway, besides all that, exciting times are here. I would like to announce on my end, I am now teaching, it's a little bit different from a podcast. I am also teaching online intuitive dance classes every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. EDT. So if that's something that you're interested in, I know it's a little bit different from listening to a podcast. Ooh, or listening to the thunder, if you could hear that. That is something else I am offering. So you can check out on my website if you want to find out more information on that. And then the other thing that I'm really excited about is the actual conversation we're having tonight. I'm very excited about this because our guest, Kaden Hunt, is a remarkable young woman who I'm honored to get to know tonight. I was connected with Kaden through Be Unique magazine, but it turns out that we actually have a lot more in common than you would think two strangers would have. And I'm excited to get to know her better and explore more with her tonight. Kaden and I will be chatting about her life as what I believe as an artist and a leader and her perspective on the current world. She is a 2020 high school graduate, and I think she would have some interesting perspectives and wisdom on the current time and what we might be able to do together to move forward. So let me give you a little bit of a background on Kaden. Kaden graduated from high school this past spring in Charlotte, North Carolina. She was the 2019-2020 student body president of her school, a member of 6 honor societies, and the founder and leader of a class on social justice. Kaden has volunteered for communities in schools, Charlotte, Mecklenburg, Second Harvest Food Bank, the Jimmy Core Foundation, and outdoor adventure summer camps at her local YMCA. At the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Kaden is interested in studying photojournalism with a focus on social and economic justice. Kaden hopes to make a change by uplifting voices in every community and continuing to open others to different perspectives. So without further ado, she obviously sounds pretty darn awesome. Here is Kaden. There we go. Let's get her on the line. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, you know, I checked out your Instagram a bit, and I was just like, Sheila seems so cool. I mean, I gathered, I'm assuming that you're an artist and you have so much going on for you, and that, like, from your mind. I don't know. I was like, she's really cool. I'm so happy that we got connected. So for everyone listening, we pretty much only had one phone conversation before this, but yeah. How are you?
I'm great. And I think that when you said artist, I think that everyone, like, is an artist in their own way, whether it's through speech or, like, actually doing art, or, like, I feel like everything has a little art form, like, even just at this podcast. So I don't know. I really like that title. I'm gonna start using that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's funny you said that. Actually, I feel similarly that, you know, when people tell me either that they're not a dancer or they're not an artist, I'm like, well, everyone, even though you don't, might not think you're good at it, you're still expressing in some way, or you're still creating however you, yeah, I think it takes creativity to do anything. We're all creatives, you know?
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. So how, like, I saw you had some really cool, you've done quite a few different things. Like, would you say, like, as an artist, like, Do you find yourself to be a creative person?
I feel like I have creative times when I feel really, like, passionate about something, or when something traumatic or something just really big happens in my life, I kind of want to focus it towards something positive, which is, like, kind of, like, out, like, doing an outlet of art or something. And I really kind of got into art not too long ago. Like, I played the guitar, like, I've done that type of thing, but, like, really with, like, photography, which I will end up majoring in, it's about kind of been maybe, like, less than a year, just finding new outlets that way. So I don't know, I love it. I love it all, and I'm so excited just for what future has to hold with it. And I feel like art is just so important, and just for everyone, and I feel like it should be shared way more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and when you're just talking, then I just thought about, you know, I follow an organization called Culture Strike. Oh, not the organization, is called the Center for Cultural Power. And their kind of, like, social media is always called Culture Strike. And a lot of what they do is they actually, like, empower artists to help shape the culture, like, through what the messages are. Like, and if there is something like an expression of something, like, how that can put into a positive outlet, you know, some sort of thing that you were experiencing. And then also at the other side of it, putting, you know, your expertise and your skills as an artist to also, like, put, you know, important narratives forward and stuff like that, because people pay attention to art and they might not realize it, but it also can be a really strong statement or a way to reach people in ways that you might not typically be able to, you know, but.
For sure. For sure. That's beautiful.
Yeah, well, I can definitely see, like connections to what you're doing and what you're kind of focusing on and how you're expressing yourself. If anybody is listening, that you have the chance to pick take a look at Caden's Instagram. It's listed in the description below. But if you're listening, say, on Spotify or something, it's at Gokus Mom, GOKUS Mom, and you can kind of see, like, how she presents her expressions that way. And I have to ask you too, what is behind the Instagram name? I'm so curious.
Yeah, everyone asks, but it's an anime reference. And so, like, Goku is part of the Dragon Ball Z. And I was like, I don't know, like, I feel like I'd be his mom. I don't know. It was some random thoughts one day. And I just kept it, and I like it a lot. So
I wasn't sure, because I was like, maybe, like, your mom ran the account before you had access to it, or I was like, maybe, like, you were, like, scout mom, like, you know. I love it. Speaking of mom, I feel like you have an old soul. Have you heard that before?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Oh, yeah, why do you think that, like, what do you think that came from? Like, I personally, I've been told that, and I'm like, oh, maybe because I had older siblings or whatever. Like, where do you think it comes from?
I think it comes from feelings of, like, older things. Like, I don't know, when I have this playlist called, like, It's like all my old songs together, and like when Love and Happiness plays, or when anything by Lauryn Hill or Erykah Badu, like it's literally just such a great time. You kind of just feel what they're saying, and you kind of just feel the emotion in it. And I feel like sometimes that's lacking in what we have today. But also like looking at things from a proactive stance instead of like a reactive stance also contributes that, just for like moving forward. And I feel like people kind of do that with maturity and with grown like people, but I think it's just a way of life. But yeah, I definitely have gotten that a lot. But I definitely try to take it. I definitely take it as a compliment.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's a really cool thing. I mean, and of course, embrace. You know who you are. Never feel bad about being young either, because I feel like I was always in a kind of a limbo of like, oh yeah, I'm an old soul. Like I totally feel that, but also I was like, wait, but is it bad to be, you know, young as well? But no, absolutely not. But yeah, I don't know. I can hear it through your voice. Maybe it's just that you see the world in a cool way. Maybe that's what it is. Like you just. Or maybe you just are an old soul. Maybe that's all it is.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But, so. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just thinking about how we, like, kind of when we got connected, I was told about the boulder that you had painted and how that was, like, an interesting, really interesting thing. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, how that came about and your process for it?
Yeah. Okay. So it was a spirit rock. And so we usually paint them for like certain events or like wear purple or go nights or something like that. That's what my school mascot. And you kind of just like raising something to have like that statement that you were talking about earlier. Like you have to use an art form to show a statement, to remind people, to inform people. And I remember one day I couldn't really go to a lot of the protests just because I was worried about my mom's safety through COVID. And so I was like, I want to do something. I want to, like, express it so that people can see it and people can kind of, like, understand it. Or at least, like, look, have an avenue to look further into information on it. And so, and, like, that's, like, a main road. Like, that road is very, very main, so it's very whatever. But I was like, okay, let's paint the rock. And so I asked on my Instagram, I was like, hey, who wants to paint the rock? With me. We were like, paint the rock? What are you going to do? I'm okay to paint the rock. I think it's kind of like a far-fetched thing, but we did like safely through COVID. You can social distance and paint, which is very, very nice. But I asked like our PTSO for like some paint. I was like, hey, I don't have money. Can I have some paint, please?
Yeah.
And got it that way. And to show a statement. And so I deleted the Instagram a story thing after like 10 minutes because too many people were saying like I want to do it, but me and six friends of mine came and painted the rock, and it was beautiful. It took literally all day in the beaming hot sun, but it was
commitment.
So worth it. And
yeah
it was so worth it, and it came out so beautiful. So it was really nice to see.
It looks amazing, and I think it's such a clever idea to use something that is typically like, you know, it is on a main road, people are going to see it, and like you had said, it was used for things like go nights or different, you know, different messages and stuff. But I think it's just really cool that you committed to it and you actually like put the art out there. And when I recently did like visit, say, Asheville, in North Carolina, I did see when I was like driving around downtown, I was like, oh, there's a lot of art down here too, which, there are murals throughout Orlando where I am. But I just feel like there could be so much more, and it's such an impactful way to like spread a message and to make it beautiful as well. You know,
right.
I just think it's really, really cool. And I had also seen, you know, that like you had to paint it twice.
Right.
Was that the same one? Yeah. Which is insane.
Was it? Yeah. It was, it was tough. Like, I'm guessing 3 days, 2 days after I woke up, and obviously, like, I checked my phone. First thing you do when you wake up. And I'm getting text messages, I'm getting whatever, like, Kaden, you painted this rock, and then look at it, like, I'm so sorry to hear this, and everything like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And I, like, didn't believe it. I was like, no, like, this has to be, like, Photoshop, like, I don't know, like, I don't know how Photoshop would do that, but, so then I got up, and I was crying, and I go downstairs, I'm like, Mom, Dad, it got vandalized, I need to go, and my parents came with me. Because they were like, this is like going to be tough. And so we went and once I saw it, I started breaking down. So I guess it's a podcast. So I'll kind of describe like what happened. So the first rock had like, a fist with all like, the victims' names, and it had like hands up, don't shoot. And it had, like, your silence is violence. Those type of statements. It had the Black Lives Matter on the other side of the rock. And so with the vandalism, the names were crossed out. They were called invaders. Like little tiny like smiley faces were put on, which was so weird. Instead of like the Black Lives Matter side, they crossed it out and said Blue Lives Matter. Just awful things, and just like egged out every single statement. And it was so sad to see, because it was, like, right in red. It's like, you can see this from the road. Like, this is not, I don't know. It just kind of broke me. But then I was crying in the video that I posted, and I knew that was kind of, like, that was super vulnerable for me. And, like,
absolutely.
I was crying.
But people connect.
Like, to see how it affected.
Yeah, I think that people seeing the reality of what that, like, that action that someone else did towards that rock when they vandalized it, like, I think you showing your humanity on the other side helps people feel even more united, I think, to go out and make sure that, like, the vandalism, yeah, isn't, like, that's not a normal, that's not okay. Like, you know, hopefully that you posting, like, what it felt for you, you know, help people say, no, you know what, let's go fix it, make sure it stays that way, you know?
Yeah, and I was so surprised to see, like, I mean, I was crying in the video. I was like, oh, I thought I put it on mute. I was like, no. But to see how people, like, reacted to it and, like, the different reactions and kind of, like, when I posted it, I was like, oh, only, like, 10 people are going to help me repaint. And, like, it turned out to be, like, over, like, 300 at the event. And kind of seeing everything and painting it in our certain ways. So, like, for the event, we painted it. One side was, like, the same kind of concept as the one before, which is, like, facing the road. But we painted it, like, the fist in gold. We, like, put different names. We put more names. And then on the other side, to get, like, the community together, so, like, everyone was repainting, because, like, we couldn't have 300 people repainting a rock.
Right.
We got gloves, and you put your hand in the paint, and then you put your hand in the, on the rock and do it that way. So, and then we wrote like hate will never win on top. And the same other side was like a Black Lives Matter with, the victim's name still in like clouds and everything like that. It was beautiful. And I think it definitely came out better the second time. Like, it's so beautiful to look at it. And even just, it's still up now. So even just like passing the road and like being able to see it, just, it's so beautiful. Like, the way the sun hits the little gold, like, accents and everything. It's beautiful, and it's so nice to see.
That's amazing. I feel like seeing the picture of it and imagining it in my mind, like, it really, yeah, it's, like, it's beautiful. And I think it's, like, very representative as well. Like, the way that you did come back and redo it, and, you know, you didn't let it, like, beat you down to stop you, which I think that's like the difference between so many things we do in life, where it's like anytime we put ourselves out there, you know, or what we care about, what we're passionate about, things that could be like, obviously, like right now, you know, like political things or like, just like, I mean, this to me is not like, it shouldn't be political, but it is, right? And it's just like, this is something that it's just, for you to come back and like make something even more beautiful and to make a stand even stronger and have that many people come through and be like, no, we support you. We're here. We're also, this is, you know, a community. Like, we all care. I think it's just so beautiful. Which is probably why I heard about
it was so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, right now I'm studying a lot of history. I'm one with my class that I'm actually in right now, and then outside of class too. And I was personally feeling like pretty lost a couple of weeks ago, just like in direction wise. Mm-hmm. And I've been finding that like stories like yours and a lot of stories throughout history is the fact that people would try, they would get beaten down by some way, or they would have like the thing that they were fighting against was obviously stronger than them at that point in time. There was like a larger force behind it. So it's basically mm-hmm. like they had to put themselves out there to have something happen. But by sharing, whether it's been on, it was on TV or in the newspapers or on social media or whatever, then it's like the people that came together after that to then say, no, we're putting our foot down. This isn't happening anymore. Like that's what actually created the change. So I feel like it's kind of a big representation of some direction or hope that we can have, you know, moving forward. But mm-hmm. that's just something I've been seeing, like a similarity. And for me, like I'm got so much to learn still. So I'm just trying to, you know, to learn as much as I can. But what are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, so I definitely think that like finding your direction is so difficult. And I think that was a huge struggle for me, and what to do to express how I feel about the whole situation, how I feel about like being Black in America, being a Black woman in America, mm-hmm. or a young woman, and still going about that and knowing everything and trying to put it into a form for people to know or to people to understand. But like, I guess it's, I had to realize that one, sometimes it's not my job to educate people. Mm-hmm. Two, I can always just do my best. And when you do your best, you can't really have any regrets that way. And so I thought randomly just to do The Rock, because I was like, okay, I can social distance. I can do everything. My mom will let me go. It was really, really beautiful.
Yeah, I was also thinking too, like right now, you know, I think so many of us want to, like, the feeling of like lostness is like, how can we do stuff like while we are in basically kind of like, well, I guess the U.S. isn't necessarily locked down anymore, but we're not really able to do what we typically would be doing, right? Like meeting and getting together in community and everything like that. I think like the Rock, for example, is like a very creative way to continue to bring people together. Have you found any other ways that you've been basically finding that community, finding that direction?
Yeah, so I think that everything that has happened, like, before The Rock, after The Rock, is, like, I'm very, like, people guide you in the direction that you're supposed to be in. Like, you will make it to where you want to be when you need to be there, type of person. But I think that for other, like, outlets of whatever, I do a lot of spoken word. I would say, like, I do spoken word more than I do anything else, just because of the way that I like it. The way that it sounds, mm-hmm. the way that it kind of shows your expression, and you're like letting people in that way, which is very, very scary to do. But I definitely like, I feel like I'm a very deep person, but I definitely need to work on my vulnerability and like being open mm-hmm. to others. But I feel like my Instagram is kind of a way to do that. Where the spoken word that I wrote one, so, but I wrote it in 10 minutes. I just woke up and just felt awful. And I started writing and I posted on Instagram, and like so much positive feedback going back, and then just some ignorance, but it was how I felt, and it definitely still like resonates today. So that's probably my main way into doing that. And that's probably like my most, the one that I like the most, is because you're expressing how you feel in like a different outlet and kind of writing it that way. I don't know, but I genuinely believe spoken word is just something that I need to keep going with and keep approaching that way. So,
yeah, because you are an artist. That's really, really great. I can definitely relate to you on the vulnerability, working on vulnerability. And for me, my like podcast has been a way for me to kind of start to do that actually. But I think that that's really great, is like your spoken word, you're still able to connect with people. That's a great way to connect with people, and you can still do that like online and everything, and make an impact on people. I do also want to ask you, because you seems like from your bio, you've had a good amount of experiences in like leadership. What are your thoughts on leadership of you know, life so far? Has it fallen in your lap? Have you worked up to it? Like, what have you learned from it? All that kind of stuff.
I've done a lot of programs through my mom and everything, but I say leadership is, I know it sounds like contradicting myself, but I feel like leadership is also about being a follower and like opening yourself for others to understand, to get that. And like, I feel like the big part in being a leader is kind of understanding how people feel in different, to understand that way. But I feel like with leadership, I feel like the best thing that you can do to be a leader is do what you needed when you were younger. You know, as I was younger and moving into high school, I was always in the minority and made fun of, called like racial slurs and everything like that. But I wanted someone to be vocal about it, because I definitely knew I wasn't. I wanted someone to be there to support me. And I wanted there to be someone to kind of understand what I'm feeling. Maybe it's just not in the same direct way, but know that it's going on and then being vocal about it. And I'm thinking, just, I'm trying to be a better person for myself and for my younger self, kind of having that comfort, but in that directness, and just trying to navigate how to do that in different forms, whether it is art or whether it is just trying to be myself, open myself up to new things. And yeah, but I think that being a leader for me, I guess, is being there for others, like through empathy, but being there for the person that I was, and how I could support myself better that way, and kind of understanding that people are the same way. I feel like a lot of people, we always like think we're like, oh, we're so different. No, I feel like a lot of people are genuinely the same sometimes. So as you make good, making that type of movement towards like bettering yourself, people will see that energy and want to do it for themselves. So I guess it's a leader that way, but I feel like I'm a follower.
I don't know. I think, well, maybe you're good at reading people, and you're good at listening to people, and maybe that's what it is. Like I see from you, I'm like, wow, she's such a leader. Like, she's so brave, and she's powerful, and all these different things. But you know what? It's probably because you are open about how you feel, and you are, you know, willing to put yourself like in someone else's shoes, or you're willing to express your shoes. You know, it's like that kind of stuff where people are like, oh, I can see myself, you know, in this person. That's why I would like want to follow you as a leader, sort of thing. But that you had so many different wise nuggets in there. I was like, I need to write this stuff down. But you know, I feel, you know, I remember, I don't know if you've ever come across this, and tell me if you have, like growing up, I'd be put in groups all the time, because my teacher, with like a bunch of, you know, kids were like, that wouldn't necessarily want to do the work. And my teacher's like, well, I want you to lead them. I want you to show them how. And I'm like, oh, seriously, you're making me do all the work here. Or as I got older, you know, as much as I would say, okay, this time I'm not going to lead, I'm just going to sit back and let somebody else take the wheel, and I'm just going to let them do it so I can do less work on this project or whatever. And like, it just happens that I'm just like, there needs to be a leader position here. Like, I need to step in. Okay, I'm just going to step into it. And it happens almost every time. But also then it gets hard too, because it's like, I have to take a back seat though, as a leader. That's how I'm learning, is like, all right, I'm going to choose to be this leader, but I'm going to take a back seat, figure out what everyone needs help with, or, you know, needs motivation, or, you know, is really good at this specific thing. Like, how can I help them be even better so I can lead them from behind, sort of thing. But, tough. It really is. So I definitely feel you. Yeah. But yeah, there's so much. Oh, well, and you even, I think it's amazing that you designed a course on social justice. I mean, in high school, like, that's insane. I think that's like incredible. And I'm without words on that one, because I think that's, can you tell me more about it? Because I just like the process of it, because I'm just so curious.
So it was actually a crazy story. So I knew it always needed to be there, and I brought it up like suddenly. I was on student council. And so my junior year, something really traumatic racially happened in our school environment, and I was broken down. And so, of course, parents come in, like, for parents and everything like that, and they kind of wanted to see a student perspective. And when I kind of rose my hand, it was definitely me taking a leap, but I just started breaking down and kind of, like, how it really feels to be Black and an environment where you don't feel comfortable or you don't feel like you belong, because it's shown that you don't belong, you know, and it's made for you to think that. And so just kind of describing that, and then going off of that, I had a talk with my principal. It wasn't really a pleasant one, but I had a talk, and it was me just crying and like trying to get to understand. And I was like, just please, like, go out on a limb, let me have this. And so the way that our school kind of works is we have like a kind of like a homeroom time. I guess it's more a global, like a national, like stance, but it's called like nighttime, which is like our school has a night.
Okay.
And so it's like a section of like 45 minutes to 50 minutes, and you can go to whatever class you want. And so you could like sign up to get tutored in math if you're not doing so well for math, and it's every. It's every 2 weeks, and it's for each day every 2 weeks. And so like 2 weeks of the nighttime would happen, and it was scary. I did it with my best friend, who's a year older than me, Kayla Clark, and we just needed it. We felt like we needed the process. We needed the space for people to be vocal about the issues, because I feel like when stuff happens again, like, when stuff happens, we don't really heal from them. We try to push it away as like a community to try to like get the smoke off of you. I don't know the term, to get the get the fire off of you, instead of really like saying like, okay, what's underneath that? Like, let's unpack that. What micro like aggressions are here? What micro like problems are here? And how can we do better? And I feel like, again, being reactive instead of proactive is not the best. So we tried to make the class, and it was scary at first. We had no idea how to do it. We were just like, we're kids. Like, we go to school. We don't have to be teachers. And we did it. It was such a great experience. Like, so much connectivity. We had a social justice showcase, which is where you express any social issue you want to do through an art form. So we had people sing songs, interpretive dance, spoken word, art, digital art, a lot of amazing things just shown, and it showed that people really cared about these things. So it was such a nice time. And then my Kayla, my friend, my best friend, she moved away, or no, she not moved away. She went to college. I was a year younger than her. And then so for my senior year, it was kind of like, oh, I'm doing this alone, but it definitely taught me a lot of strength. One, just like getting lesson plans, but the hardships in like being a teacher. Like I feel like a whole thing about teaching that some teachers that I had didn't understand is that you kind of have to sit back sometimes and let a student know how you feel, like let a student express how they feel, kind of give the answers wrong so you can get them right later on. Again, my class, like the class was never to change minds, but it was to open them up to different perspectives and different issues. So we talked about colorism, mental health, LGBTQ+, like rights. We talked about toxic masculinity. We talked about so many different issues that affect our students in our school, but you don't really like learn about.
Right.
And so it was a great experience, even just for me, like every class, like I got something out of the conversation. Basically, the structure, it would all start off with a spoken word that related to the topic, which I love spoken words, so that's why If you want people open up themselves to it, it's very nice. So it's mm-hmm. also through the spoken word. And then I kind of expressed like the stance or like what's going on in the topic, like what the topic is, like how people perceive it, where like different examples of it. And then as a class, like I have a bunch of questions on the board that we propose like a discussion about. So I would ask questions, people would raise their hand and kind of bounce off ideas. Sometimes we would never go off the question. We kind of just want to talk about it and like unpack it and understand things. So it was definitely a great experience just for me to learn about, because even with the class, I definitely looked up stuff I've never like known before. And that's not really taught. So for Native American Heritage Month, we did, we learned about like blood quantum and like ways of like discrimination that way, which you don't have to think about in America. If you're not one of those communities, you don't have to mm-hmm. think about it. And that's our privilege that way. Mm-hmm. And so learning about it and like kind of just saying, this is so messed up. We need to fight for this. We need to stand by people like this. And it was just eye-opening for me just for that experience. And that's just one of the many examples, but that was the one that kind of really resonated with me. Just like the ways, like we talked about Elizabeth Warren, we talked about blood quantum. We literally talked about how like in the Black community, it's like one drop and you're like Black, but in the Native community, like one drop isn't enough to be considered whatever. And you kind of have to have, they're the only like race or ethnic group that kind of has to have like permission from the government to be who they are, which is so difficult to me. I think it just stands by like how race is a social construct, but that's a whole different conversation. But those were some of the things, like that was just what conversation that I just thought about that definitely resonated with me.
Yeah, I feel like that class is so like what is the word? It's like so key to like what is missing, I think, in so many educational or group settings or things like of that nature, even companies like of all like that, what you were exploring, what you were expressing, and the way that you held class as well. It sounds like it's just like you're going down to the root of different issues, and you're saying, let's talk about it, and that, like, let's hold space for each other. And, you know, do it in a healing way. And I think it's like, I want to take that class. I want to be a part of that. You know, that's something I think like growing up, when I'm thinking back to when I was in high school and in any kind of situation that I've been in, of that nature, like you said, the microaggressions and the little things that you notice, but no one ever talks about, and like, all that kind of stuff, for you to hold space to open that up and to also educate and like, on all those things that again, we don't, when we're not, forced to have to think about, we are privileged to not have to learn about, you know, it's like, I think that's such a beautiful way to, keep educating and to keep an open mind for people, of all different like walks of life, because I think that's a big element that also is missing is, people are afraid to talk, or because they're afraid that people will be reactive mm-hmm. and it'll go badly. And instead, setting, you know, when you held that class, it sounds like you set the parameters and you set the energy and you set the expectation, that sort of thing, so that people could feel safe. Please.
I feel like that's what we don't really have in classrooms, are like teachers that genuinely want to learn from their kids as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what growing in life is. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you, in order to have growth, you have to become comfortable in uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And so moving forward in the class, that's what... That's what the class did. It made you uncomfortable, but it was a way mm-hmm. for you to open yourself up to a different type of world and like how you contribute to things. Because I know like mm-hmm. when we talked about colorism, it was a tough conversation to have, where it was, how do we contribute to these, you know? And I know that mm-hmm. it's based on prejudices that like we also face as Black people, but working on colorism is what we do to ourselves as people. And so it was definitely, that was probably one of the hardest conversations, just because I'm definitely coming from a place of privilege in that thing. So I definitely opened it up to the class more, but it was a hard concept to grasp about, like, for people. But it was definitely one of the most healthiest conversations that we've had, where it brought a lot of conversation. People felt like, wait, I don't understand that. Can you, like, go further? Or, like, huh, how does that work? And just kind of talking about that, and kind of when a kid asks that, I think that it's so important for, like, teachers not to say, hey, can you, like, go look in your notes? Go look in this. I taught this in my lesson. Go look at my website. And, like, that's, I feel like that's what a lot of teachers do, when you kind of just want to have those conversations and kind of learn. Because I know, like, even I do that. Like, I'll teach her something and she'll be like, go look in your notes. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm not looking in my notes. Like, I'm not going to do it. I'll just ask someone else. And looking for guidance in your teachers as, like, confidants, like, and, like, literally as just friends, and not just from, like, an authority figure. Well, yes, from an authority figure, but also from, like, one that you can learn from. And I feel like if respect is not mutual, or respect is not given that way, then there's no room for growth educationally, mentally, emotionally, and physically. So I don't know. I feel like that's one thing in teaching that definitely needs to change. But I feel like that's what the class did. Especially wasn't there was no teacher that was there. I mean, there was more, like, football coach.
I feel like having, you know, the ability to also, like, challenge your teacher in, you know, in a respectful way. I think oftentimes students, they just want to feel respected, and when they feel respected and like, you know, seen as equal in their own minds and their own thoughts and questions and things like that, it's like such a healthier I think back and forth between the teacher and the student to grow, like you said. I love what you're saying. We do have to cut to a little, like, ad from our sponsors, but when we get back, I have a couple more questions for you. But thank you for sharing. I feel like, geez, guys, take some notes from Kaden. This is so cool. I'm so glad we're talking. All right, here is an ad.
Are you tired of the same old, same old? Are you sick of having to switch from station to station to find something worth listening to? Well, honey, I've got the answer. AstroNetRadio.com is the new kid on the block, and we're filling our slate with original music, entertainment reviews, sex talk, comedy, and so much more. So set your devices to stream AstroNetRadio.com and never look back. We play what we want so you can hear what you want. AstroNetRadio.com, serving East Texas and the world.
Okay, AstroNetRadio.com. That was fun. I never know what I'm going to hear when I play them. So, yeah, go check them out if you want to hear some good music. All right. So, Kaden, let's see. I have still so many more questions, but it looks like we only have a couple more minutes. So I'm going to ask you the ones that are super important. Okay, let's see.
Okay. I'll try to shorten the answers.
No, it's okay. It's a great topic. I feel like we could have a conversation about specifically that. You know, geez. And that's the thing. Every time I talk to someone on here, I'm like, can we talk for like 3 more hours? Is that all right? You cool with that? Like, there's so much more I want to learn. And also, you know, this is the kind of conversation for me, like, that I've been craving, is just like real good, like, good conversation, because, you know, so many of these conversations that I typically would have with people in person aren't happening right now. So I'm super grateful. Okay, so let's see. So with all of what's happened over the last few months, and how, you know, based on maybe how you felt before COVID versus now, what are you focusing your energy into now? And after that, how can we support you in that?
Oh, do you mind repeating the question? Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's all good. What are you placing your energy into now?
Wow. I'm thinking, that's a loaded question, but I would say specifically my vulnerability, what I talked about earlier, and kind of understanding that there are different perspectives to different things. I'm putting my energy into that, and also my energy into myself. I feel like when you see things out into the world, you kind of, like, you feel some way and you want to talk about it, but I need to give that same energy to myself that I'll, like, respond to someone in a DM. But I need to give that energy to myself to kind of say, like, hey, like, you don't have to educate someone. You don't have to give someone 500 years of history of whatever to back up your point. Like, you are already valid. You don't need someone else's validation to make you feel okay. That's like one thing I've been really, really working on, and working on my vulnerability. I know it seems like I'm very, very open. I definitely am about, like, certain topics and everything like that. But personally, like, stuff that has happened to me or life events, I need to be more open to allowing others in and kind of, like, letting down that wall of trauma or just hurt and everything and pain. So that's definitely one thing I'm, like, a couple things I'm putting in my energy into, but those specifically, 100%.
Yeah, we're definitely very similar in that way. But I also, you know, I think that's super wise that you're putting your energy into yourself as well, taking care of yourself. I had the realization the other day of, like, wanting to change other people and realizing I couldn't, but I could put the energy changing, helping myself, you know, or changing. Change is hard for anybody, like, thinking about how hard it is for you to change yourself so then to try and change someone else. But yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really, really wise thing. focusing on putting the energy back into you, to keep you, like, sustained and healthy and happy. So how can everyone that's listening, how can they support you in the days, months to come?
Support me. I say you support me by supporting yourself, you know, being a better person for the people around you. 100% can do better. I guess for me personally, I don't really have a reason why. I think just open yourself up to different perspectives. Again, mm-hmm. be the person you needed when you were younger and be the person that you want to see in the world, or even like that saying, it's like, be the change you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And all that type of thing, but definitely work on just understanding and listening. I feel like sometimes we talk, we don't really listen. So I know I have to take that into account too, but definitely those type of things. So supporting yourself 100%, letting yourself have those times where it's like, hey, like, dang, I'm really hard. Like, I don't look so good today. Maybe say, like, what can I do to feel better? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or what can I do? Like, think of your questions like self-accountability. I'm saying, like, I should not have said that. Instead of, like, focusing on, like, I should not have said that. Like, what can I do to build up what I really meant? Or what can I do to build up a relationship where I'm learning, where I'm educating myself or being open to things? Because I feel like, people definitely come for arguments and not really an understanding, and you kind of have to realize that when people come in your DM. But that's probably gonna be my answer.
that's a great answer, is to have people working on themselves and supporting themselves too, and like you said, self-accountability and all of the things. There's so much, right? But I think that's a really, really great piece of advice as well. I love it to help the world, help yourself, and like you said, be the change that you want to see. So that means you got to dig deep sometimes, but it's well worth it once you come out on the other side. So I think that's it for us on time. But Kaden, thank you so much for speaking with me, for being here, for sharing your mind and your spirit. I hope someday we can maybe meet, and that would be amazing. But thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm so glad this worked out. You're actually the first person I've interviewed that I haven't known previously. So you've kicked it off with a great start.
This has
been really cool. Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys want to get connected with Kaden, please do check out her Instagram. It's listed in the description. And otherwise, like we said, it's Goku S Mom or Goku's Mom, which is GOKUSMOM. And if you have a business that you'd like to let our listeners know about, please do contact me to sponsor an episode, you can reach me through www.anna-east.com. And if I can learn how to speak, I just want to say thank you all so much for listening and supporting this podcast week after week. I feel like PBS, but if it weren't for listeners like you, we wouldn't be here tonight. So thank you, Kaden.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I'll hopefully talk to you soon. And to everyone else, I will see you in 2 weeks. And good night.